The feast of the baptism of the Lord concludes the Christmas season. Supermarkets don't dictate to Christians when their seasons begin or end, although they attempt by commercialism, and they shouldn't, nor should the Hockey Association tell the cricket club when their season should begin or end. So the Church wills that the Christmas season begins when it does after Advent and concludes with the feast of the baptism of the Lord, which, according to ancient tradition, occurred on the same day as the Feast of the Epiphany. But 30 years, more or less, separate the two events. The Epiphany, that Christ came for all, and then, years later, on the same day, our Lord has this momentous occasion of being symbolically baptised in the Jordan by John the Baptist. I say symbolically baptised because his baptism wasn't as ours was. Why? For three reasons. Firstly, Christ is God, and God doesn't need baptism. God doesn't need grace because God is the author of grace. Secondly, baptism takes away original sin. Christ never inherited original sin, nor did he sin. And thirdly, when our Lord was baptized by John in the River Jordan, there was not yet any sacraments. The Church had not yet been established. And only from our Lord's side, after his death, did water and blood flow, which were symbolic of the beginning of the sacraments in the Church. So for those three reasons, the Lord's baptism in the River Jordan was not a sacramental baptism. Why did our Lord do it? As he said to John, it is fitting that this should happen now, so that I could give later on an example. If I've been baptized, ought not you? He would say to his apostles and the apostles to others. So he went through this symbolic baptism, which was common back then in the East and still today, as a ritual form of cleansing, so that we would want to be baptized, that we would want to imitate him, walk where he walked, say what he said, and be baptized. What's so important about baptism? Because fewer Christians today give it as much, give it less importance than other generations. For many people, it's more of a social occasion rather than a sacred reality. Baptism is essential for salvation. Mind you, there are three forms of baptism, and I've put them on the bulletin. The sacrament of baptism, baptism by desire, and baptism by blood. But all of us, I would presume, are sacramentally baptised. What happens on that day? Well, the first thing that happens is that original sin is removed from the soul. Original sin is an impediment. It's a blockage to grace, and as such, it prevents us from entering heaven. A round peg cannot go into a square hole. One with original sin on his soul is incapable of entering heaven. And so that has to be removed. Christ died to remove that. He died, as St. Paul would write to the Romans, for that sin, to pay back the debt of Adam's sin, the fall. So baptism removes, firstly and most importantly, original sin. And then, in its place, the soul is transformed and elevated into a spiritual reality. Every human being, is born with a body and a soul. But until that soul is baptized, a spiritual dimension does not exist. So when the words were said and the water was poured, and more than likely we were infants, our soul expanded into a spiritual reality, and God came to dwell within. We call that sanctifying grace, or habitual grace, not to be confused with actual graces. Actual graces David, Moses, Noah, Abraham received divine inspiration and power from heaven to do particular things on earth and to accomplish God's will. That's different to sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace builds a new, you might say, dwelling upon the soul in which God comes to reside, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why we become a child of God. We belong to God and God resides within. For a baptized child, They become a temple of the presence of God. Not something outside of them, but something within their very being. And that's why at Holy Communion time, for those in sanctifying grace, the priest lifts up the host and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you say a prayer that says, "Enter under my roof." Why say roof? Because you have within your soul a dwelling place, a presence of God. And the word roof is symbolic of God dwelling within. So that's the second reason why baptism is so important. Sanctifying grace enters into the soul and completely and utterly transforms it. It's not until the next life will we fully appreciate that moment. The third effect of baptism is that we become children of God. Not by right, but by adoption. And that was mentioned in the opening prayer. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that anybody of any nationality can be adopted into God's family and become a child of God. Every person who is created, every soul that God has willed into existence, ought to have a destiny with God. But that, alas, is not the case. Everyone is loved by God, but not everyone is a child of God. You have to be baptized to become a child in God's family. You have to be born into a family to belong to a family. So too, baptism is a spiritual birth of the soul. And that's when we begin to belong to the Lord, as a child of his royal family. Christ is the King, heaven is kingdom, that makes us royal members of the family. And hence, we can rightly call ourselves the prince or princess of the kingdom to come. And that's a tremendous grace, isn't it, to know that we have a royal inheritance awaiting us, not in this life, but in the future life. And hence the notion of becoming a pilgrim. In latter years of my priesthood, I've resolved only to baptize people with a shell, because the shell has always been the ancient symbol of someone on a journey, a pilgrim, that begins here, the journey, but ends in the next life. And that's why, for those who make the big walk, the Camino in Europe, that pilgrimage, the shell is the symbol all the way along the journey. The ancient people of the past, when they went on the journey, carried the shell because it was a plate that they would beg for people to put something on it at night and when they'd knock on doors. It also became a cup to scoop water from the river as they passed by streams. So the shell became symbolic of those who were pilgrims on the way. And we are God's children on the way home to heaven. So we thank God for this feast because it's a reminder to us that we have an inheritance and a destiny, not in this world, but in the life to come. And it all began with that moment, that baptism. And that baptism involved three persons of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as was the case with our Lord's baptism. The voice from heaven was the Father, and the cloud, or the dove coming down, was the Holy Spirit. Well, on our baptismal day, we weren't baptized into the name of Jesus or into the Holy Spirit, but we were baptized in the name, which means the power of a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons. And as such, we now have a Father in heaven, and we belong to God's family. But whence comes the Mother? Well, if we have a Father in heaven, it only makes sense we have a Mother on earth. And the Mother on earth is the Church. God, Christ, and the Church. All three are connected. Mother Church gives birth to our soul in baptism, and then doesn't neglect us, but rather feeds our soul in Holy Communion, heals our soul in the sacraments of penance and anointing, strengthens our soul in confirmation, nurtures our soul throughout this world to prepare us for the next world. And so we have a Mother as our Church on earth, modelled on the perfect Mother, Our Lady. And that's the Marian dimension within the Church. And you can see how the Church is very much a family, more so than a building, more so than a community of persons, as a royal family. And we have been privileged to be adopted into that family. So today, on the feast of the baptism of the Lord, thank God for those people who brought you to his Church, his family so that you can become his child. Pray for their souls. And also, as you're leaving the church, bless yourself, because every time you bless yourself with holy water, it's a flashback to that moment when you were baptized with water, that day, that great event. I've even changed the water to make it friendly, no floaties in it, so that you can baptize yourself with a certain sense of privilege and joy that God is awaiting me as a king and I as a future prince or princess of the Holy Realm. Praise be Jesus Christ.